Here we are in Proverbs chapter 27, and verse number 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is the only guarantee that we have. A man who has been a part of our church for many years called me the other morning. I was out here in the front lobby. And I answered the phone, and I've been in contact with him on a regular basis. And he said to me, he said, the doctor has given me 1 year to live. Now, that's pretty sobering. It's very serious news. And so we talked for quite a while. He was going to go and talk to his children, so I had a word of prayer with him. And I said, among many other things, I told him this. I said, you know, some people don't get a 1 year warning. Some people don't. I mean, it's bad. But some people only have a day to live and they don't know it. Some people have a week to live and they don't know it. I mean, it's bad. But we don't know, because today is all we have. As I hung up the phone, and I kind of, you know, it really gives you a reality. As I hung up the phone, I thought, what would I do if I had only 1 year? What would I do? I mean, if the clock started running. I'd say, well, it's a good year. It's leap year anyway. I get an extra day, right? Well, what would I do if I had a year? All of a sudden, you have 365 days, and you have 364 days. And, you know, a lot of people who get a year only get sometimes less than a year, sometimes longer than a year. But what would I do? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Let me give you several thoughts. Number one, we have today to serve the Lord. We have today to serve the Lord. Now, how different would my outlook be if I had 1 year? Can you imagine if you had 1 year? Let's say you knew it. Let's say you knew. Okay, you got 365 days, and then you don't have one more, but you don't have one less. Boy, I would say, you know, I have 1 year. I'm going to tell everybody I can about Jesus. Hey, I know Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I want you to go to heaven too. Hey, in a year, I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to be in heaven, and will you be there? I'd find everybody I could find, and I'd ask them, are you going to heaven when you die? I know where I'm going. I mean, it's bad that I'm not going to be here anymore. My wife's going to really miss me. I mean, she won't have to cook near as much, right? She won't have to clean the house at all. I mean, it's going to be great. But you know, can you imagine? I mean, wouldn't we want to find everybody we can find and say, hey, I'm going to heaven in a year. And it's real. I'm going to be there. I mean, I know what the Bible says. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but where are you going? Are you going to be there? I'd do a lot of things if I had a year. We have today to serve the Lord. How different would it be if we knew this was our last year? I'd get a Sunday school class, and I would teach the Bible to everyone I could find. I mean, I would find people out on the street, and I'd drag them in. And I'd say, hey, we are in Sunday school in 5 minutes. You need to come. Hey, we're having Sunday school tomorrow. You need to come. Hey, where do you live? I'll come by and pick you up. Why? Because I only have a year left. Listen, if I had a year, I would get a CDL license, and I would drive that bus that just sits out there, and I would fill it up with people every Sunday, and I'd bring them to Sunday school because I only have a year left. That's what I'd do. I'd say, you know what? I'm going to go up and down the streets. I'm going to go to the lanes and the highways and the hedges, and I'm going to compel them to come in because I only have a year left. And boy, when my year is over, it's all done. I've only got today. I'd preach on the streets. I'd preach in the prisons. I'd preach in the bus stops and the train stations. I'd go to Boston. And I would preach to everybody I could find. I'd stand out front of the sports arenas, and I would preach to all the people going in there and say, listen, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why? I got nothing left to lose. I got to pull out all the stops. I've only got a year. I go to the mission field. I take a trip. I got a passport. I go get a visa to somewhere. I hook up with some missionary, and I go to the mission field, and I say, listen, I've got a year to live. I want to see the world. I want to preach the gospel to the world. I want to find some people that don't know Jesus Christ. And I want to tell them how they can be saved. And I want a bunch of gospel tracts in their language. And I'm going to pass them out on the streets and in the alleys and the hovels and the little tin little buildings and the clay huts and the brick buildings with no roof on the top. I'm going to find everybody I can find. I'm going to tell everybody I can about Jesus Christ. Drop me off in the most populated place in the world. And I want to find as many people as I can and tell them about Jesus because I only have a year. Wouldn't it change our perspective? I mean, it would just put a fire underneath you. You say, you know what? I've been sleeping. Look, I get 8 hours of sleep every night. Don't I look beautiful? I mean, I get 8 hours of sleep. I mean, that never happens, right? I would say, you know what? 8 hours of sleep isn't important. I could function on 5. I could get by on 4. I'm gonna get up early. I'm gonna stay up late. I'm gonna make phone calls. I'm gonna bother people. I'm gonna go out in front of the bars and I'm gonna preach out there. I'm gonna find everybody I can find, tell them about Jesus because I only have a year. I'm not gonna sleep my year away. I'm gonna have all time in heaven to rest. Amen. I'm gonna be serving Christ in heaven. But it's not time to lay my head on a pillow. I've got a year left. Boy, that'd change your life. I would set up an endowment. Baptists don't know what an endowment is. I had to look it up, okay? No, just kidding. It's a fund that you put money in now that after I'm gone, it takes care of things that I want to fund after I'm dead. I'd set up an endowment. I'd take some money. I'd put it in an endowment for the preaching of the gospel, for the distribution and the printing of Bibles and gospel tracts, for the support of soul winners around the world and missionaries around the world. And after I'm dead, I would have that work going on. I'd be watching from up in heaven. Hey, that's my money being spent, not wasted. That's my money being invested in the kingdom of Christ after I'm gone. What a wonderful thing to do. If I only had a year, I'd get those wheels rolling. I'd read my Bible more because it would be urgent. I'd say, you know, it's not time to just kind of mark off the box. And look, if that's what you do, right, that's okay. But it's not time to just check off the box. I want to have something checked off in my heart that I got something from the Lord. I like what Dr. Tom Malone said. Somebody asked him one time. I heard him say it. He said, Dr. Malone, how long should you read the Bible? And he said, read the Bible till your heart burns. I thought that was a good one, right? He had that gravelly voice, right? Read it till your heart burns. I'd read the Bible more. I'd pray more. It would be more important. I would be in every church service, help permitting. I would be in church. Why? Because I've only got 1 year left. We have today to lay up treasure in heaven. Look at Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus told us that we're to lay up our treasure not here on earth, but in heaven. Verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I would get busy investing in eternity. I would ask myself every day, what am I doing today that's going to last forever? I mean, from the time I woke up in the morning and my feet hit the floor, I'd say, I want to do something that's going to last forever. Because forever is coming. The time between life and forever is getting shorter for all of us. What if you had a year? We would say, you know what? I've got to stop fooling around. I've got to stop rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, right? It's going down. I've got to get busy and say, you know what? I've got a year left. I better lay up some treasure in heaven because I don't have long. I got to get busy. Look at Revelation chapter 14. In Revelation chapter 14, we have a verse about people who have died in the Lord. And there's a great statement that is made in verse number 13. Revelation 14 and verse number 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Why? They're in heaven. And their what? Works do follow them. I want some works that are going on after I die. Listen, if I die today, Gospel Baptist Church would still be going on tomorrow. Now, I didn't do anything. I just showed up. And I just did what God wanted me to do. But I am thankful that there's something going on because of my little tiny life that's going to outlive me if I die tomorrow. Now, I'd like that to keep going on for 10 years and 20 years and 30 years until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But what if we put into motion that it's going to follow us? Listen, as long as the gospel is preached from this pulpit, people are going to be saved. As long as those buses are rolling, those vans are rolling, and soul winners are out knocking on doors, people are going to get saved. As long as those missionaries are being supported, people are going to get saved and people are going to heaven. That's a work that we can do. And you support that. And we support that. We say, you know what? I am investing in eternity for other people that I've never met. Isn't heaven going to be exciting? Man, if you don't like people from other parts of the world, I hope God puts you right in the middle of their neighborhood. I hope you get to heaven and you have to live next door to that person that you don't like forever. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, God really has a sense of humor, doesn't he? After a few thousand years, you'll get over it. For many, our works for the Lord will all end when they lower our body into the ground. You know, it's sad to say, but I was thinking about this. Some will even have a negative effect and a net loss after they're gone. I mean, we're going to have to take up an offering to get rid of you. I'm sorry, that's terrible, wasn't it? Did I say that? Some folks, I mean, they're just going to cost God money. Look, we ought to be an investment in the kingdom of Christ that goes on after we're gone. That is a good thing after we're gone. That's an eternal thing after we're gone. What if you had a year? I've only got today. You've only got today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Hey, that was appropriate. We showed those pictures, right? What a wonderful year in review. You know, a lot of those people aren't here anymore. They're serving God somewhere else. That's good. Some of those people are in heaven. When we show pictures next year, some of us will be in heaven. Maybe we'll be serving the Lord somewhere else, but let's be serving the Lord. But we've only got today. We ought to be an impact player for Christ. You know, there's some people that are impact players. I don't know. I know a little bit about basketball. My son tells me there are people who are bench players, right? They come in so the other guy can get a break, right? The guy who's scoring 30 points, 40 points, 50 points a game, right? That's an impact player. That's half the score. And then they have to have other people come in and relieve them because they get tired, right? It makes sense. So Jason Tatum or whatever his name is on the Celtics, right? See, I think he scored like 38 points the other day. That's good. Listen, if a guy can do that for basketball, I want to do something big for God. I want to be an impact player for God. Every day when you wake up and your feet hit the floor, the devil ought to say, uh-oh, here comes trouble. Uh-oh, he's awake. Oh, no. Imps and devils of hell, she's awake. Uh-oh, we got to get busy. They're out of bed. Red alert in hell. Here they come. Watch out. Be an impact player. I put this quote in the bulletin the other day. C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd, a century ago, was the Tom Brady of cricket in England. Okay? He was a household word. Very famous guy. And he said, you know what? I'm a Christian. It's not important how many millions of dollars I make or how many people know my name or how famous I am. I'm leaving it all behind. I'm going to be a missionary to China. He went to China. He went to India. And he went to Africa. Three mission fields. I mean, this guy was an incredible missionary for God. He gave up everything, but he didn't give up anything because he laid up treasure in heaven. He said this, "Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet long and loud for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it the devil will hold a thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle." What a great quote. I mean, let's live in such a way that when we die, the devil sends somebody to the funeral to make sure we're dead. Are they really dead? I hope they're really gone. Because, boy, they sure did cause me a lot of trouble there on that earth. They sure did empty out the lake of fire by pulling people out of the fire. The book of Jude says, some have compassion, others save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. I lost another one. There's that person up there witnessing. I lost another one. It must be a Tuesday. I lost another one. It must be another customer. They told about Jesus. Now they're going to heaven. Too bad. Make sure the devil has a Thanksgiving service when you die. Be an impact player. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Some folks say, tomorrow, I'm going to win souls. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. You only have today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to get busy for God. You might not have tomorrow, sir. You might not have tomorrow, lady. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to serve the Lord. Tomorrow, I'm going to have an active, vibrant, growing impact in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. You don't have tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Do it today. Serve God today. Get busy today. We do not have a guarantee of tomorrow. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, Jesus Christ told us about a man that we call the rich fool. God called him a fool, and he was rich. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no corn, room wherewith to bestow my fruits? We don't know if this man was saved or if he was lost. The Bible doesn't tell us. He could have been either one. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. Think of all the first person pronouns. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul. Now he's talking to himself. Soul? Thou hast many goods laid up, much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We hear that phrase all the time, don't we? That's where it comes from. Jesus said, there's a man who is a fool. And he said, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward who? God. This man said, I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do the other thing, and I'll tear this down, and I'll build more, and I'll build greater, and I'll collect more, and I'll be richer, and I'll have more money, and I'll have more influence, and I'll have more power. And God said, no, you won't. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. And he died. He didn't have any more time. I don't know how much time I'm going to have. Look, I'm young. You're young, right? Miss Smith, you're young. Not as young as me. We don't know. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to have next week. We don't know if we're going to have next year. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We only have today. That ought to change our life. I only have today. This is all I have right now. I better get busy for God. Number two, we only have today to seek forgiveness. I was thinking about that as I talked to that man on the phone. He said he's going to go talk with his children. He told me where his kids lived. And I thought, you know, if I only had a year left, there'd be some people I'd probably want to talk to and seek their forgiveness. The other day I was put into a situation where a person I know, probably not a Christian, but the person I know, they just went off on a stranger over the dumbest little thing. I mean, it just wasn't really important at all. And they just made a total fool out of themselves. So I had to kind of get in the middle of the situation because I know the stranger and I know the person. And so I had to try to kind of cut through the middle of it. But think about what a foolish reputation that person got. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, in verse number 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. I thought, you know, that guy, he's probably not a Christian. But even he should know better than just make a fool out of himself. And now he's got to see that person. And every time he sees that person, oh, yeah, that guy who made a fool out of himself. And hopefully Hopefully they fix and mend their fences. But if you had a year to live, you'd say, you know, I gotta talk to some people. If I've hurt someone, I need to make it right, because I might not have tomorrow. We need to keep a short account. Keep things short. Number three. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have an account of a man named Naaman. The Bible describes him as a mighty man. In verse number 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was what kind of man? A great man. A great man with his master. He was a captain. He worked for the king. He's a great man. And honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. Can you see Naaman? I mean, this guy was fearless. Hey, I've got a battle to fight today. The enemy's over here, and they've been surrounding the city, and we need to go and fight them. We need to win a victory. Naaman, front and center, sir. You are my first choice. Naaman, bring the army and fight the battle. And he comes back at night and he's victorious. Can you see this guy? He's just a mighty warrior, soldier. Can you see all the awards hanging on his wall? You go into his house, it looks like a museum. Naaman, a mighty man of valor. Naaman, an honorable man, a decent man, a right man, a good man. Can you see him as, you know, you see some of those guys with the generals, you know, with the stars on their shoulders, right? And they got all the it looks like a menu right on their chest. Like they got all these medals and all these ribbons and all these, you know, bars and all these campaigns that they've gone to and all these battles that they fought. And it's incredible. You see the different, you know, things that mean something, because they've sacrificed something. They put their lives in jeopardy. That's the kind of man Naaman was. A fearless fighter. Medals, trophies. Everyone knew Naaman. Look at the end of verse 1. But he was a leper. Mighty man of valor. Man of honor. Everything going his way. What are you going to do, Naaman? I'm going to put in my 20 years. Now I'm going to retire. I'm going to go out on the top. I'm going to go into the history books. Naaman, a mighty man of valor. Naaman, a man of honor. But honor, Naaman, a valiant warrior. One day, he's looking in the mirror. Maybe he's shaving. He sees a little spot, maybe on his nose, or maybe on his ear, maybe on his knuckle. And he says, I wonder, that's shaving cream. Hey, calls his wife, come here, look at this. I hope it's not what I think it is. I hope it's just a bruise or a bump or a callus or a pimple or something. And hey, I need to go see the doctor. He goes to see the doctor, and the doctor says, Naaman, you have the L word, leprosy. There's no cure for leprosy. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. All of Naaman's conquests, all of Naaman's trophies didn't mean anything, because now he has a death sentence. As the leprosy would spread through his fingers and his hands and his toes, his ears, and pretty soon it'd eat him away. He couldn't live in his own house. He had to go live in a leper colony. Whenever anyone would come close, he had to call, unclean, unclean. There's Naaman, a mighty man of valor. But he was a leper. Oh, how quickly things change. Naaman, how long do you have? I don't have long. It's a very aggressive disease. The little maid girl comes and says, but Naaman, if you were in my country, there's a man that could heal your leprosy. Really? He writes a letter to the king of Israel. hey, I want you to heal my leprosy. The king gets the letter. He says, what are you trying to do? Start a fight with me? I can't cure anybody's leprosy. He's like, he can't believe it. Oh, no, there's a man, Elisha. Elisha, go see Elisha. Elisha knows God. God can heal his leprosy. Naaman's whole life changed. He had to move out of his house. Finally, he comes to Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't even come outside. Gehazi, his servant. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, Naaman. Everything's going really good right now. But he was a leper. His whole life, tragedy came. How about Gehazi? Gehazi said, hey, the man of God said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and your flesh will be clean. Okay, well, why can't I go to Urbana and Pharfar? They're clean rivers, the Jordan River. Are you kidding me? I'll probably get something else in the Jordan River. I'll die quicker. His servant said, look, do you want to get better or do you want to keep your leprosy? Okay. He goes down to the Jordan River. He dips 7 times. He comes out of the Jordan River. His skin is like a little baby's. He's healed. He comes back to the house of Elisha. Elisha, I want to give you money. I want to give you changes of raiment. I want to give you silver. Elisha says, go your way. I don't take any money. Gehazi overhears it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, Gehazi. One day he's working for the man of God. One day he has the blessings of the Lord in his life. One day he sees miracles. And he begins to think, you know, Elisha won't take that money, but I'll take that money. And he runs out to the chariot and they see him come and stop the chariot. Hey, what is it? It's the servant of Elisha. Hey, Gehazi, what is it? He said, you know what? Elisha changed his mind. That was a lie. Elisha changed his mind. He said he'll take some silver. He said he'll take a change of raiment. Oh, here, they loaded him up. Comes back into the house and Elisha says, where have you been? Gehazi said, I didn't go anywhere. He said, oh yeah, you went. And he said, the leprosy that Naaman had, you have. And the Bible says he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, servant of God. You could be like Gehazi tomorrow. One day on the top, one day miracles, one day everything's going your way. The next day, boast not thyself. How quickly today can change. Verse number 11, a leper is white as snow. One day he's a servant. The next day he's an outcast. How about Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of the then known world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the wonders of the ancient world. I mean, they're still talking about Babylon. The streets and the grid, the whole roads and the whole structure and the system of Babylon over there in the Middle East. And Nebuchadnezzar walks out on his porch one day. And his heart is filled with pride. And he looks around and he says, is not this great Babylon which I have built? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And he's struck by the Lord. And he goes out and he eats grass like an ox. And his hair grows long like eagle feathers. And his fingernails are long like talons. And he's out in the rain. He's out in the weather for 7 years. Until finally his reason comes back to him. And he says, you know what? I didn't build anything. God built it all. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You may be on the top of the pinnacle today. But don't get proud. Because God has a way of humbling. What a different tomorrow. One day eating in the palace, the next day eating grass. Think about that. Belshazzar, in Daniel chapter 5, is mocking God. Belshazzar, the king, brings all of the vessels of the temple into his heathen palace and has the people drinking wine out of God's vessels and blasphemy and debauchery and a life of reviling God. Now, as he's sitting there drinking in his gold hall, a finger writes upon the wall the finger of God. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. The kingdom is being taken from you. It's being given to another. The Bible says, that night, he died. It wasn't planned. It wasn't the tomorrow he wanted. He wasn't prepared. Think about this. Look at Luke 16. How quickly a day changes. One day, you're on top side. Next day, you're on the bottom. Luke chapter 16. Jesus told us about a certain rich man, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. He had it all. He had everything. He had everything a man could want. There was nothing that you could have that he didn't have. He had the nice clothes. He lived in a beautiful house. Probably had servants waiting on hand and foot. Everything he wanted, he had it. But tomorrow, he woke up in hell. And nothing mattered. Gone all of his wealth. Gone all the insulation that he had from the cares of this life. Gone. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And tomorrow he was crying out for one drop of water. How quickly things change. Hey, think about how quickly things change for Lazarus. Lazarus is under his table. He's eating the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. The dogs are licking his sores. He's probably in pain. He's suffering and nobody cares about Lazarus. And then, boy, how quickly his life changed. He died and the angels carried him to paradise. Here he is in Abraham's bosom. Here he is with God. How quickly things change. Boy, I'd rather be like Lazarus than that lost man. You know, you too can have a better tomorrow in Christ. But you won't have a better tomorrow if you're not in Christ and you die. Solomon. What made him happy today did not satisfy him tomorrow. Solomon had everything you could want under the sun. You read his biography and he says over and over again, I had this under the sun. I had everything under the sun. My whole life was lived under the sun. Gold and silver was nothing. And everything I wanted, I had under the sun. And then he looks at the end of his life and he says, you know what? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's all empty. He said, to hear the whole conclusion of the matter, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The last thing we have recorded that Solomon says. What did he say? He said, you know what? What I have today, I'm not going to have tomorrow because I live for under the sun. How quickly life changes. Achan was one of the trusted men in the nation of Israel. He goes to Jericho with Joshua and his army. They surround the city. They march around it one time for 6 days. They march around it 7 times on the 7th day. And the Bible says the walls fell down and God had already instructed them, don't take anything from Jericho. It's a cursed city. And God said, don't take anything. Don't take just a little piece of thread or a shoelace. Nothing. And God did not bless the children of Israel when they went to Ai. And Joshua wondered why. And God said, there's sin in the camp. Someone has taken of the accursed thing. You know the story. They take one tribe, then they take one family, then they take a subset of that family, then they take Achan and his family. And Joshua says, all right, son, what did you do? Confess. And he says, in essence, this, I saw, I coveted, and I took. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. They bring all of Achan's family together. They stoned them with stones, and they were gone. What a difference one day makes. How about Pharaoh? Hard-hearted. Pharaoh, over and over again, his heart was hard. Over and over again, we find he was oppressive. Pharaoh was a rich man, the king of Egypt. They had treasure cities. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow, Pharaoh? We're going to build more cities. What are you going to do tomorrow, Pharaoh? We're going to build more. Maybe they built those pyramids, right? We're going to build more pyramids. We're going to have more slaves. We're going to have more power to rule the world. But the Bible says he woke up at midnight on a tomorrow and his firstborn was dead. He did not apply the blood to the doorposts and the lentils of his house. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, Pharaoh. You can just send Moses out one more time and say, you know what? I'll take care of it tomorrow. No, I changed my mind. We're going to do it later. And I don't care what God said. Guess what? He didn't have any more time. His firstborn died. Children of Israel are pushed out. He exiles the Hebrews and he pursues them. And Pharaoh and all of his soldiers and all of his horsemen and all of his chariots gone, wiped out in the Red Sea. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Look at James chapter number 4. So what should we do regarding tomorrow? James chapter 4. And verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. We will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We've got a year to live. Vanisheth away. I've got 6 months to live. I've got 2 weeks to live. I've got a day. We don't know. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What should we do regarding tomorrow? We should seek to be in the Lord's will every day. Lord, today, when I put my head on my pillow, I want to be in your will. God, when I wake up in the morning, I want to be in your will today. I want to do those things that please you. And then remember, you may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Do you ever think when someone passes away and you think, what was my last conversation with that person? Do today what you would be pleased if it were your last day. Hey, if it was my last day, I'd say, you know, I at least got to preach the Word of God on my last day. I at least was in church with God's people on my last day. At least I got to teach a Sunday school class this morning on my last day. I got to sing in the choir on my last day. I got to mess up the timing on the special on my last day. There's a 7-second delay. That's why. Okay. I don't know who did it, but I'll take the blame for it. On my last day, they're going to have like a reel, a Follies reel, right? I'll be on it. On my last day. I'm going to laugh on my last day. I'm going to enjoy being with people that I love on my last day. I'm going to get along with my wife on my last day. Do today what you would be pleased if it were your last day.